Health-related information contained on this podcast does not constitute the basis of professional medical advice and should not be treated as the basis for formulating health decisions without professional advice.
Welcome to another episode of Drucama Radio. My name is Tom, and I'm happy you're able to join us for another installation of our ongoing series, where we get to hear from and learn about the lives and experiences of actual Drucama practitioners. In this segment, we'll get to hear from Sarai. Sarai, are you with us, sister?
I am. Thank you for having me here.
How have you been? It's great to hear your voice.
Very good. It's great to be here.
Let's jump in and get started.
I'm ready.
All right. Sarai, tell us a little about yourself. Where did you grow up? How would you describe your formative years?
Well, I grew up on the East Coast in the United States, and my mother was an alcoholic, so it was kind of a chaotic household. And generally, you know, life was just difficult, kind of poor and so forth. Mm. And the alcohol took its toll on my mother. She ended up dying when I was 14. But my siblings, I had a couple of brothers, and we were taken out of her custody when I was 9, and I had to go live with some relatives. And these relatives were fundamentalist Christians.
Ah.
So started going to church every Sunday, but it seemed very hypocritical to me back then because, you know, it didn't what they preached in church in the sermons just didn't reflect how life was happening, really. Even though I went to live with this aunt and uncle, the energy in the home was not so peaceful.
Right.
So I went through those years and graduated. And shortly after graduating, I started my own family. I worked full time. I raised my children. Eventually, I made it back to school and got my RN. I was a nurse for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And when my children were young, I did bring them to church off and on, but, you know, didn't really see the point in it.
Right.
Even though I didn't have like a spiritual background so much in the esoteric sense at that point, I still could sense that I wasn't seeing the whole picture or hearing the whole picture at church. But I did read the Bible on my own as an adult and saw the truth in the words there, but really didn't know like the esoteric side, the hidden messages, you know, of the parables and so forth. So throughout my life, you know, I saw the rhythms repeating over and over. I'd pray and receive some guidance, but then it would slip away due to the currents of life, attachments and ideas about how life should be, and searching for outward means to bring that peace and happiness.
Being an RN, did that have an influence on your spiritual path at all? Dealing with sick people and people at their time of death, that sort of thing?
Well, I definitely saw the suffering and what people were going through, but after, you know, coming to the teachings later in life, I gained more perspective on that. I gained more insight in the challenges that people face, such as those who hear voices. In the medical field, especially in the 90s when I did my training, we were not taught about the existence of psychic phenomena and how hearing voices can be related to that. So, you know, if I was in the medical field now, of course, there'd be an evaluation.
Right.
There'd be a certain criteria to investigate a patient before deeming them to be ill or something. But I'd certainly have a different perspective than many of my colleagues. And hopefully in the present time, especially with the information from around the world shared via the internet, we're gaining more understanding that many of these experiences people are having are not necessarily hallucinations or delusions, but rather they are encounters with higher order realities, or what we might call intelligences or messengers in the unseen realms. So, you know, many people who hear voices would probably be helped much better by meditating and clearing blockages rather than medicating them. They'd gain personal understanding of why such phenomena are happening, and they'd develop spiritual discernments and have that intuitive knowing of what is spirit, why that's happening to them, and what's coming from spirit.
That is very, very interesting.
Yes. And, you know, many cultures would probably see it the same way that I do now. In the U.S., we don't look at it the same. We don't have so much of the shamanistic view or, you know, other cultures praise some of these gifts and psychic phenomena much more than happens in the U.S. they develop that spiritual discernment.
I understand that wholeheartedly. In fact, I was at first surprised that a lot of our brothers and sisters, our practitioners, are in the medical field. But now, you know, having been with Drukama for a while, I'm not surprised whatsoever. Now, when did you actually see yourself forming some kind of a spiritual belief?
Well, I had a lot of experiences as a child and teenage years and so forth and into adulthood. As I said, I would sometimes pray and ask for guidance and then slip back into the mundane. But it wasn't until I was into my adult years that I really, after a big rhythm, prayed fervently. And this time, you know, I held it. And I prayed not for everything to change around me, but for me to change. Please change me. Just whatever it takes, change me. And shortly after that, I went to a bookstore with my sister and was drawn to the metaphysical section. Like something was pulling me over there, and I was drawn to this book that talked about Gnosticism, and I had never heard of Gnosis before, you know, which is seeking personal knowledge through direct experiences. But this book talked about initiatory mystical rituals and mystical experiences, and I found that really intriguing. So I looked up Gnosis and got involved with a group shortly after that that had the same interest and began some practices. My dreams became more intense after that. I actually started having revelations, communications with beings. I was seeing cosmic ships, or what some people would call UFOs, in my dreams, receiving messages and learning of a past life, having premonitions. And around that time, I realized that some of these beings that I was communicating with were ones that I had seen in my dreams as a child as well.
These experiences that you had once you started actually practicing Gnosis, would you say that they were due to the practices alone? Is it something you could have done yourself, or did you have a good teacher behind you? Did that have anything to do with it?
Well, the practices definitely did help me to start sensing the energy and opening that door that I had opened in prior lives but had forgotten about. But it wasn't until I got to Drukama that there was practices to increase that energy to a deeper level.
Mm-hmm. How would you say your practice now, your practice with Drukama, relates to what you did in your time up to that point?
It's really a continuation or more in-depth experiences. You know, as time goes on, it's deeper revelations.
Right, right. Would you be willing to tell us about your prior lives?
Sure, sure. So, yeah, with the Gnostic group, I had learned of one past life, and I think that was, you know, revealed to me so that I could see some of the similarities between that life and this life. But I learned of many past lives, actually. I've had a variety of backgrounds. I mean, not only like Christianity in this life, lived in Tibet in another life, Buddhist and Jewish in another life, but in one life, I did learn that I was killed because I did hear voices and because I said I could communicate with spirit. I had my throat cut out and I was burned at the stake. Thankfully, nowadays, we're no longer burning people alive for having such experiences as we once did. But it's good to keep in mind that such revelations of prior spiritual work that we've done come to the surface to our awareness as a natural consequence of the spiritual work of becoming more in alignment or more attuned with the power from our essential nature. And what was confirmed to me in learning about these past lives is that the teacher, my guru, Daishi, was actually my teacher in many previous lives. I won't specify like who I was in these different lives, but it was confirmed to me where the connection was and how important it was for me to be here, continuing on with this path.
You did mention that you had some challenges along the way. Can you go into depth with some of the challenges that you've had? Or maybe we can help the audience to understand that challenges are part of the path. And while you're going through them, you don't realize that. Actually, you feel like you're veering from the path, but you're really not. Have you had that experience?
Yes, definitely there's obstacles presented to us, right, as we're striving for change, as the ego resists. But, you know, you see the changes as you're making that effort, like the system sees that too. You see the changes in the rhythms diminishing, but also like in my dreams, I would get confirmation or rewarded for taking the effort that was needed. You know, symbolically, I'd be shown like a celebration or be given food or money or something. And then if I was slacking, then the dreams would go more towards the side of showing me a scene that showed the predominant ego and how that needed to be cleared. But, you know, after I found these teachings, it was still difficult with family because I tried to share some of my experiences with them. And they would see it as either I was being misguided by the devil or, you know, I remember talking to one family member about seeing the cosmic ships in my dreams and talking to these beings. And basically she told me, well, that didn't happen. You know, like because things didn't happen to them like that, they couldn't relate to what was going on in my life. But, you know, I've had challenges in the past before coming to Drukama and strengthening the will and intention. Despite that energy, I still was pulled away listening to the stories in the head that, well, this is important. I need to get this done or that done. Rather than just sitting down and meditating and taking the time that I need to do the practices and even, you know, learning to do the waking practice, as we call it, to stay in awareness throughout the day really made a difference.
Do you notice that certain practices come to you surprisingly easily? I've found out myself that certain things seem to be second nature to me, and I wonder why other people don't understand it, don't get it. You know, like you said with your family, they thought it was, you know, the devil's work or something that wasn't true. But when something comes to you that easily, it just has to make you wonder, you know, have I done this in the past?
Yes, I know it's definitely because of the past lives that I was more easily able to sense the energy. You know, I think some people, when they take a little bit more time with the practices to start sensing the energy to that extent and, you know, to get revelations in their dreams. But we learn that everybody has different things that will come to them, different cities.
So eventually you found yourself at Drukama. Maybe you can share how that came about.
Well, I was with the Gnostic group and I just drifted away from it. I think the universe was leading me in a different direction. And I actually spent a couple of years without a teacher. I was just out on my own. But I remained friends with somebody from the Gnostic group. And she eventually shared with me a link talking about the classes that were going to take place with Drukama. So I went to check that out and was drawn to the truth that I heard in the words. And could see how the teacher really had a tremendous knowledge of many religions and, you know, could tie it all together and get to the truth at the core. And the dreams continued, you know, after I got to Drukama, but now with more insight into the corrections that I needed. And there were practices to increase that latent energy to a greater extent. And also there was the Shaktiput, or the transmissions, which were obviously very helpful.
You're in California at this point. Do you find it much easier now that you're there?
Well, I definitely am benefiting from being here in the physical to listen to each Dashan each time we get together. You're sitting in the same room as the teacher, and he's obviously emitting a great deal of energy and helping us to get clear just being around him. But definitely we do also have that support of the teacher being here and our fellow Sangha members.
So tell us about your life now that you've been part of Drukama for a while.
Well, you know, that change that I prayed for many years ago, I saw come about. The karmic rhythms, like I said, diminishing, getting clear of the ego entanglements, awakening to my true self or my essential nature. And by helping myself in this way, I could see how I can also help others better by, you know, recovering these hidden treasures, as they say.
Right. So this is probably a good time to let the listeners know that if they want to learn more about Drukama, they can visit our website at drukama.com. That's drukama.com. Sarai, thank you. It was awesome speaking with you, sister. I'm afraid our time is up, but it has been a pure pleasure. I love hearing your voice again. I thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Tom. Wonderful.
And I'd like to thank you, dear listener. I hope you found our discussion today helpful in some way. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please email us at radio@drewcommer.com. You can also visit us at all the usual places on social media. Just search for Drewcommer Teachings. The transcript for this show is also available on drewcommer.com. So until next time, blessings.